That's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, to preach your word. We bless you right now, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated in God's presence. Hallelujah. Let's open with me in your Bibles to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. We are still dealing with the subject of prayer. I'm going to turn off this microphone. We are still dealing with the subject of prayer or the necessity of prayer. But I want to deal with something specific today, or a specific subject, or a specific scripture that I believe has been taught and misquoted so often that it has hindered God's people from actually standing in prayer and persevering in prayer. And they have, and too many of God's own people have accepted circumstances and situations that they should not have accepted and they should not have put up with. Praise the name of the Lord. And Romans chapter 8, verse 28 happens to be the passage that a lot of God's own people have been deceived by Satan, who has worked through theologians throughout the years to destroy faith in God's, or true faith in God's people, or have given them a substitute for faith, and have caused God's people to just become fatalistic in their walk with Christ and allow things that happen around them, and they just say, well, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, brother. All things work together for good. And because a lot of God's people have accepted this version of Scripture or this interpretation of Scripture, they have failed to really go before God, stand before God, and they have failed to confront the satanic forces that are trying to destroy our world. Praise God. Amen. And so as we come to understand what this scripture is really teaching, and we will learn that it is actually in line with prayer. Praise God. Amen. And we will learn that you cannot just accept this type of teaching fatalistically, but you must learn to stand in prayer, stand in faith, and stand in your authority in Christ Jesus until you see circumstances change. Do not accept circumstances as though they just came from God. Praise God. Amen. You see, there are a number of fatalistic religions out there. But first, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. So, the title of the message is, do all things work together for our good? The true meaning of Romans 8, 28. Let's read that together. Romans 8, 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's King James version of it. There are a number of fatalistic religions out there. The Buddhists, the Hindus, and Islam, they pretty much are fatalistic. For example, the Hindus believe in this thing called karma. And sadly, there's some Christians that seem to have their own version of that particular teaching. I believe that the Bible tells us that that which we sow, that shall we also reap. But that is totally different from karma. Praise God. Amen. Karma is this thing that if you are suffering a certain thing in this life, poverty, accident, sickness, whatever, it's because of something you did in your past life. That's a lie of the devil. The Buddhists have a similar concept. The Islams have a very strong concept in which everything happens according to Allah's will. So if you get hit by a drunk driver, that was Allah's will. If you fall in a pit and get eaten by lions, that was Allah's will. If you, God forbid, get raped, that was Allah's will. Allah is a demonic deity. And if you're Muslim, I'm sorry. Well, no, I don't apologize. You'll just have to accept what I say, even if it angers you. But Allah, he's mean. Our Father, the God of the Bible, is nothing like that God. Praise God. Amen. For those of you who know Jesus. Allah has his followers going around killing people and then saying that was his will. Our Father cries when people are killed like that. His heart breaks. So, but yet, Christians have taken this particular passage of scripture and painted this type of God, and made him no different than the God of the Islamics. They made him a mean, ornery, angry God who just makes things happen to you for no good reason, but tells you that there's always a reason for everything that happens. It's just you may not know what the reason is right now. But all things work together for your good. You got molested as a child, all that's going to work together for your good. Your little baby got raped, all that's supposed to work together for your good. You got an abortion, all that works together for your good. All that is people misuse the scripture to teach all this kind of foolishness. And no wonder there are so many people that are bitter with God today. There are so many people that are angry at God today. And those who still serve God, who believe this, are making no real impact for God, most of them. I want you in this church to make an impact for God. Praise God. Amen. So that's why we're studying this scripture out, and we're going to learn exactly what it's talking about. Now, the context of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, is found in verses 26 and 27. Let's look at that. Excuse me. Verses 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Say pray.
Pray.
Say pray.
Pray.
Notice the context. Verse 26 and 27 is connected to verse 28. Verses 26 and 27 is talking about prayer. Praise God. Let's read on. But the Spirit itself, or I would rather have said himself, make, because the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen?
Amen.
Say this with me. Say the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit
is a person.
Is a person.
He is not an it.
He's not an it.
Or a thing.
All things.
He is a person.
He is a person.
Jesus is God.
Jesus is God.
Watch out for Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and others who deny these truths, or the Way International, another cult group that I've learned about in the past couple of months. All these people deny that the Holy Spirit is truly a person, that he's truly God, and many of them deny that Jesus is truly God as well as the Father. Watch out. If any you ever get with a group and they deny these two essential truths, get out. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit, he is a person, he is God. And he's just as much God as Jesus and the Father. So the Holy Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. If the Holy Spirit is just some type of force, then how can he make intercession? What is intercession? Intercession means standing between two people, or basically standing in the gap between two people to intercede on behalf of the other. For example, if Pastor Steve had a problem with Sister Takako, but I knew both of them, and I knew that I could deal with both situations, I can go to Pastor Steve and intercede on Sister Takako's behalf. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, you and I have been called God's priests and God's kings, and we are to intercede for the rest of the world. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, we have both Jesus and the Holy Spirit making intercession to us, to our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have an intercessor. You have someone that's praying with you and praying for you, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he knows that we are weak in our praying. And so he energizes our prayer. He gives us groanings that cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is there making intercession for us through us. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 27 goes on to say, and he that searches the hearts, God knows your heart, and he's searching it. Amen. Knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit is there making intercession for you. And so then, knowing that verses 26 and 27 are talking about praying, when we go back to verse 28 and keep it in context, it says, and we know. Keeping this in context with verse 26 and 27, then it goes on to say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah.
Okay.
See, when you disconnect verse 28 from verses 26 and 27, you come up with fatalistic theology. You come up with this idea that everything around you is happening because God wills. But that is not what it's saying. It's because if you read verse 27, it says that the Holy Spirit is making intercession through you according to God's will. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means that what's going on around you may not necessarily be God's will, or because if it was God's will, then the Holy Spirit would not have to intercede and you would not have to pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it is when you are, during the time that you are praying and during the time you are interceding, it is then that all things begin to work together for good to them that are, that love God. Say, love God.
Love God.
See, you got to love God. You see, all things don't work together for good for everybody. You're going to see that in a moment. We're going to look at that through Scripture. All things simply do not work together for good of some people, because they don't love God. How do I know I love God? I obey him. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, again, it's the Holy Spirit that is making intercession, but I need you to understand that he is making intercession through you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that he dwells in you, if you are a born-again Christian. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are a born-again Christian, then the Holy Spirit is in you. And so when the Holy Spirit is making intercession, he is using your mouth. Praise God.
Amen.
In other words, you and I are in partnership with God to change the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God didn't say, hey, I want you to change the world, I'm leaving you by yourself. No, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. He told them to stay in Jerusalem until you have received power from on high. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you will have power to be witnesses unto me.
Amen.
In both Jerusalem and Judea and in Providence and in Pawtucket and all the uttermost parts of Rhode Island and Southeastern Massachusetts. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He has given you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is with you and in you.
Yes.
But he needs you to cooperate with him. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, as we go back to Romans 8:28, I'm going to give you just a little bit of technical term. I'm going to give you one technical term. But, you know, y'all intelligent, so you can understand some of this. The word works together comes from a Greek word, synergeo. And the word synergeo means to work together, help in work, be partner in labor, to put forth power together and thereby to assist. Praise God. Isn't that simple? How many of y'all have ever heard the word synergy?
No.
You never heard the word synergy?
No.
The word synergy means to work with one another, to work in sync with one another. How many of y'all have ever heard the word symphony?
Well, yeah.
Do you know what a sympathy is?
Yeah.
A symphony is an orchestra. It is a bunch of instruments that play together. Have you ever watched a symphony on television or actually live?
Yes.
And they can, you see, and you sit there and you wonder how they do it so beautifully. How those people, violins and the piano and all of them, able to seem to sync together and produce such wonderful music together. That's because they are, that is the what the word symphony means. It means working together, praise God.
Amen.
In synchronization with one another. Well, that is what works together is. It is not talking about the things, the circumstances happening around you will somehow mysteriously work for your good, or that God is sending circumstances that really are destroying your life, but some mysterious way they're going to turn out for your good. That is not what the Bible is teaching. What the Bible is teaching is that you and God are working together to make things work out for our good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is able, with your cooperation, to take all the evil that is going on around here and bring us victory through that mess that's going on. Praise God.
Amen.
You may be being attacked by the devil, but if you and God work together, instead of you going, oh, poor me, what am I going to do? Instead of doing that and say, hey, Holy Spirit, you're my helper, you're my companion, you're my friend, I need help right now. Let's work together.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Let's change this situation.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will say, hey, I was waiting for that. Come on, boy, let's get down on our knees and pray.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Or stand and pace the room or something, but let's pray.
Amen.
Let's stop sitting around crying. Amen. And boo-hooing all the time.
Amen.
Calling all your friends who ain't going to help you in the first place.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm going through, sister. Yeah, I know what you're going through. I've been going through the same thing. That ain't no help. I need some help. I need changes in my situation.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Calling you up and getting sympathy may make me feel a little, make me feel good for maybe 30 minutes.
Amen.
But then after I get off the phone with you, the situation smacks me right back in my face.
Yeah.
Troy, I'm here. You're still in trouble.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's what the Holy Spirit is. Work. He is there to work with you. That's what
Amen.
Works together is.
Amen.
And another translation, the Revised Standard Version, which is an older translation, one of the oldest English translation. I like the way it puts it. In Romans 8:28, in the Revised Standard Version says, we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him.
Amen.
With those. Amen. See, that's totally different. That's a far cry different from what the way the King James Version has it. See, the King James Version makes it sound like the circumstances, as if the circumstances themselves have some intelligence, or that God is somehow orchestrating negative circumstances to destroy you. God doesn't need negative circumstances to build you up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has given you his word. This is what builds you up, not the negative circumstances. The negative circumstances come because Jesus said, ye in the world, ye shall suffer tribulation. It's not God doing anything to us. It is Satan. But God is wanting to work with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. All glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And how has he worked with us? Verses 26 and 27 already told us that. It's through prayer
Amen.
That God works with us.
Amen.
It's through intercession. The Holy Spirit works through us and prays through us
Amen.
To make things happen for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now this word synergy, you can find this in a couple of different parts of the Bible. And let's just look at two of them real quick. In Mark chapter 16 verse 20 it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord, say working with them.
Working with them.
Say working with them.
Working with them.
It doesn't say that God orchestrated circumstances to work for their good. No, this is the same exact word in Romans 8:28, in which God is actually working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen.
So God is not orchestrating circumstances. He is not the God. He is not Allah. He is not the impersonal karma of Hinduism or Buddhism. He is a personal God who loves you, is looking out for your best, and so he is not sending trials and tribulations to try to destroy you. The trials and tribulations are just a natural part of you and I being in a spiritual warfare against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark world. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I mean, if God is the one fighting against you, you've already lost.
Amen.
That's no hope for you. If God is the one bringing sickness on me and causing me to go into debt and stuff like that, making me have accidents, then I might as well just give up. But if I know it's Satan that's doing it, and God has already defeated him and given me the victory, then praise God.
Amen.
I am on the winning side.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I love the Lord. Let's look at another passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. The same exact words, synergeo, says, we then, as workers together with him, say workers together with him.
Workers together with him.
Say workers together with him.
Workers together with him.
It says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Do you know you can receive the grace of God in vain? How does that work together for your good? It doesn't. Let me answer that for you. So, sooner jail, it's amazing to me that the King James Version translates Mark 16 as working with them, then 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 as workers together with him, but then for some strange reason takes Romans 8:28 and translates it as though the circumstances are working against us. And for centuries, theologians have been using that passage to say even sin. Listen to me. I read this in a commentary just this morning. I got it right here if you want proof. This man says that even your sin, somehow God is using your sin to work together, work out his situation or for good for your life. That's just crazy. The wages of sin, my friend, is not working together for your good. The wages of your sin is death. James said that when sin has conceived, it brings forth death. Sin does not work together for your good, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, theologians will take that one passage, quote it out of context, and don't even look at the Greek language, and that's supposed to be the experts on this stuff, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But when your mind is blinded by a certain theological perspective or a certain doctrinal perspective or a certain denominational perspective, then that's how you're going to read the scriptures. You're going to read the scriptures with denominationally colored glasses instead of reading them for what they say. And then you're going to malign God's character, and instead of winning people to Christ, you're going to run them away from him. How many people want to receive the God who killed their daddy when they was only 5 years old? Oh, baby, God needed your daddy in heaven. I need my daddy right here. Amen.
Amen.
Child living in poverty because they don't have a provider in their home. Child's parents got killed, and some preacher tells them, well, all things work together for good, son. And yet he's having to live in a foster home the rest of his life. No wonder these kids are bitter against God. That is the reason why Charles Darwin, the inventor of the lie called evolution, which tells you and I that we came from monkeys. Isn't that sad how they insult the monkeys like that? Y'all didn't get that one. That just went right over my head. But anyway, Charles Darwin was very upset because his daughter, who he prayed for, died. And so, because he was told that God killed his daughter, he got so mad at God, he decided to come up with an alternative theory that did away with God. And they're feeding this lie, this religion of evolution, to your children in biology classes all over America today, praise God. Even when I was fed that, when I went to biology class, I just couldn't see it. They had me cut open this frog, and I said, somebody had to make this frog. They told me it evolved somehow. I said, I don't know how it evolved, but my Bible, and I wasn't even really a Christian at the time, but I knew better. I just said, God, the Bible says that God made all this. I studied this stuff so I can pass the class and get my grade, you know, so I can graduate from high school, but I said, this is crap. I just wouldn't believe it. But see, sadly, it's these type of lies that that theologians have fed other people that open the door for Satan to deceive them and cause more havoc in this world through lies and deception, praise God.
Amen.
So if we were to teach the truth about God, give a right concept of God, then people would not be running away from God, they would be running to God, and the world would change instantly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But because so many lies are running around about God, that God is the one doing this, God is the one doing that, then not only are non-Christians running away from God, but God's own people fail to pray. They fail to really sit, get down, and really buckle down and intercede for the rest of the world. Because they figure, well, you know, God is the one doing all this in the first place, so what in the world am I going to waste my time praying for? Why should I just say, hey, thy will be done and get it over with and go eat lunch? No. God is not the one orchestrating circumstances, hallelujah.
Amen.
Except those that you are praying for and asking him to orchestrate for you. Glory to God.
Amen.
Let's look at some other scriptures that make this point clear. Right in Romans chapter 3, the same book, the same person that wrote it was Paul. Paul wrote Romans chapter 8. He says something in Romans chapter 3 that totally contradicts the way people have translated and misinterpreted Romans 8:28. Begin at verse 5, he says, but if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what will we say? Is God unrighteous who inflicts wrath? I speak like men do. Notice what he said. This is what men are saying. This is not what Paul is saying. Even back in Paul's day, they had a false Romans 8:28 type teaching where they taught that our sin actually is done by God. That our sin makes God's grace even greater. That's ridiculous. Then he goes on to say, may it never be, for then how will God judge the world? In other words, if God is the one causing the drunk driver to go and kill people, then how is he going to judge that drunk driver? It's crazy. If God is the one causing pedophiles to kidnap and rape and kill kids, then how is he going to judge that pedophile? He can't. If he's the one doing it. That's why it says, for then how will God judge the world? We go on. For if the truth of God through my lie abounded to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? In other words, if I'm going around lying and God is the one and my lies are promoting God's truth, then why is God still judging me? In other words, Paul is trying to show the ridiculousness of this type of ideology. I don't know why our Calvinist brothers and sisters and others who have misinterpreted Romans 8:28 just skip by Romans chapter 3. And it goes on to say, why not? As we are slanderously reported and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Those who say are justly condemned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us do evil that good may come. That is a big lie of the devil. See, the devil gives us these scriptural misinterpretations so that we can go out and continue to commit sin. Because all things work together for your good, brother. That prostitute you slept with last night is going to work together for your good somehow. After your wife then kicked you out?
Yeah.
and you had to go to the clinic and they tell you you got AIDS? Magic Johnson sat there and said one day, God gave me AIDS so that I can help other people. Magic Johnson, the basketball player, said that. God gave me AIDS. See, that's because of the type of teaching that is going on in the church. So in other words, all things work together for Magic Johnson's good. Isn't that sad? That's sure enough sad. Well, let's look at, now I want to show you how what the Bible teaches. We got a couple more passages. Now I want to show you. Anybody learn anything?
Yes.
Glory to God. See, I hope this is inspiring you to say, hey, my prayers make a difference, praise God. My partnership with God makes a difference. God wants to partner with you and I. That's another thing. I learned from John Bevere. I remember I was reading a book by a man named John Bevere. Anybody ever heard of him? Except talking, I know you heard of him. But anybody else ever heard of John Bevere? I'm going to get some of his books. He's written some wonderful books. He's an excellent Bible teacher. Hopefully one day we can get him here. don't laugh. I'm believing God for that we're going to get some big speakers here. Hallelujah. But one day, John, I'm believing God that John Bevere will walk in this very church and bring forth the word of God. Glory to God.
Amen.
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 One of these days, maybe even Fred Price, or at least Fred Price Jr. I'll settle for Jr. I love him too. Hallelujah. One of these days, we're going to get some men of God in here that really bring forth the word of God to us and feed us. Hallelujah. But John Bevere made this statement that I'll never forget, because I used to always say, God, use me. Use me. And so John Bevere, I was reading a book by him, and he was saying that he was praying the same thing. This is the kind of prayer we all pray. He was saying, God, use me. Use me, Lord. He said one day the Lord spoke to him and said, have you ever been used by somebody? And he said, yes, I have. And God said, well, how did you feel? He said, I felt dirty. He said, then why do you think I'm going to use you? He said, I don't use people, John. He said, I partner. Now I'm paraphrasing from here. But he basically, God does not use us. He partners with us, praise God.
Amen.
God works with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a good God. God does not, he don't force you to do anything. He doesn't make you do anything. He asks you to work with him for your own benefit. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
If he commands anything, it's for our good, not for his ego. Glory to God.
Amen.
The whole Ten Commandments, for example, what he commands you is all for your personal good as well as the good of others. But God does not use you. He partners with you. Say, God.
God.
Partners with me.
To
change the world. The reason why the world's not changing is because we are not doing our part in the partnership. Amen.
Amen.
We need to pray. We need to come when during the prayer times the church has. We need to be here on Wednesdays. We need to be here on Saturdays. We need to be on that prayer line. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to do our part if we want to see the changes. Now, let me show you from a couple of scriptures very quickly. And then we'll end by showing you why prayer is so important by looking at one or two familiar passages of scripture. But in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 46, it says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Praise God.
Amen.
See, that was a person who was working together with God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's look at verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, did all things work together for this guy's good?
No.
Did it work together for his good?
No.
Why? Because he didn't work with God.
Amen.
Now, but yet, some wonderful brother, after he done disobeyed God, he didn't do what God said. And then this happens to him. The storm comes against his house and destroys his house. Some wonderful pastor's going to walk up to him and say, "Well, brother, all happened. That's right, Brother Morris. It all happened for a reason.
Yeah.
All things work together for the good.
Yeah.
God is in control. Somehow, some way, God knew you needed this to happen to you." No, Jesus has a totally different idea of why it happened to him. The reason why Jesus said the reason why that happened to you because you didn't obey me.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what? I'd rather obey Jesus and then all things work together for my good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. In a positive way, not a negative way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's look at another passage and we'll see this truth. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, Luke 8 talks about the seed that was sown. And it gets to the part about the guy who received the seed and they gladly heard the message. But let me read it from the Contemporary English Version. It says, "The seeds that fell on rocky ground," that's talking about the word of God, "are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it." I mean, those are the ones that's in church. When pastor's preaching, they jumping up and, "Oh, glory! Whoa, that was some revelation, pastor. Oh, thank you, pastor. That was a good word." 2 weeks later, you don't see them no more. Who are they? But they don't have deep roots. And they believe only for a little while. As soon as life gets hard, they give up.
Yes.
Now, did all things work together for that guy's good?
No.
No! He gave up! Yeah. Life got hard! Life gets hard for all of us.
Yeah.
But it all depends on whether you believe the word of God. See, we saw one man, he went through the same storm as the other guy. But the first guy obeyed God's word. And so Satan beat upon him. Satan caused all kinds of misery in his life. Satan falsely accused him.
Yeah.
Right, Martha?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But because Martha obeyed the word of God, she's going to stand.
Yeah. Amen.
And we're going to stand with her. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But see, if you don't obey God's word, you disobey him, then you're going to be that one that failed. And then some well-meaning pastor's going to come up to you and say, "Well, all things happen for a reason. The reason why you got falsely accused and fired is because God was working out a plan." No, God doesn't use somebody's sin to work out his plan. Now, if somebody sins, God can work in the midst of that and change that, praise God, like he did for Joseph. He can turn it around. But God didn't need Joseph's brothers to sin and tell him in order to work things out. Work out his plan, amen.
Amen.
But because they did it, God was able, because Joseph cooperated and worked with God, God was able to intervene and change the situation. Glory to God.
Amen.
God didn't need evil men to crucify Jesus, but because evil men decided to crucify Jesus, God used that situation for the salvation of the world. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, if the princes of this world had only known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that, but God didn't ordain for evil men to do such a cruel thing to our Lord. God sent his son to redeem them, but they decided to kill him. But God took that and slapped the devil in the face with it and said, "Ha! You killed my boy, but now I've got more sons because of what you did. I got more daughters because of what you did. You foolish, foolish devil, you." Glory to God.
Amen.
But as soon as life got hard, this guy gave up. So all things did not work together for his good. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, bro.
Now, let's go back to prayer. Because my primary reason for teaching this, so that hopefully this motivates y'all to start praying and stop living with ideas of fatalism. Thinking that, well, what difference does my prayer make? Your prayer makes a lot of difference. Amen.
Amen.
Your prayer, your praying can be the difference between life and death for somebody. Your prayer can be the difference between church growth or church closing up. Amen. And then some well-meaning person out there will tell you, well, that's because your pastor was out of the will of God in the first place. That's why the church closed. Now, don't listen to them. God is in this thing, baby. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we need your prayers. We need you to participate. Glory to God. Participate. James chapter 4, verse 2. We've read this passage, but in order to keep you from being bored from seeing the passage read over again, I decided to select two different translations this time. From the God's Word translation, it says, you want what you don't have, so you commit murder. You're determined to have things, but you can't get what you want. You quarrel and fight. And notice what the latter part of that? You don't have the things you want because you don't pray for them. Praise God. Does all things work together for the person who doesn't pray?
No.
Does it?
No.
No. All things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. Or the proper translation is, God is working with those who love him for the good. Amen.
Amen.
Because we're praying, and we notice the context is prayer. Let's look at the New Living Translation. It says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous for what others have, and you can't possess it. So you fight and quarrel to take it away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Amen.
That's just plain and clear, ain't it? You can't, I mean, you can't get no reinterpretation of that whatsoever. I mean, that's basically all things. If you ain't praying, that's the reason why all things ain't working together for your good. Praise God.
Amen.
Because you need to work with God. You need sooner jail. Say sooner jail.
Sooner jail.
Say synergy.
Synergy.
We got the synergy is the English word, the English translation of that. So you're going to hear that word a lot more here. Synergy. Working together. Working in sync with one another. That's what God wants. That's what Pastor Mary read a scripture a couple weeks ago from Genesis chapter 11. That it talked about how the people became one. And God said because they became one, there was nothing that could be withheld from them. Isn't that something? Synergy. Working together accomplishes great things for God. When you're The Bible tells us, we read this scripture last week in Matthew chapter 18, where if two shall agree as touching concerning anything on earth, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Synergy. People coming together for one cause, one purpose, and accomplishing great things in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If in Genesis 11, if that synergy can work for sinners, how much more can it work for God's people who have the great God of the universe and his almighty power on their side? Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I'm hoping that these past couple of teachings on prayer will have inspired you to really buckle down and start praying. There's so much more I can teach on prayer. And if the Spirit leads me, I probably will teach more because I don't want you getting bored and getting tired of the same subject, unless you start doing it, the Holy Spirit's going to keep telling me to teach certain things. Amen. Now, I'm going to try to teach them in different ways. Like today, I said I don't want to just teach the same repeat of what I taught last week. So I said, let me try to teach something else that's within the same line, but hopefully will keep your interest and help you to understand the vital necessity and importance of prayer. And I hope that today's lesson has taught you that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet so we can get ready to close out. Did you get anything out of this?
Yeah.
Anything at all?
Yeah.
Amen. So when somebody comes to you with Romans chapter 8 verse 28 and says all things work together for your good, what are you going to tell them?
Yeah,
only would say when I'm working with him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And for those of you who are watching by television or watching by computer, We are Victorious Word Christian Fellowship. We are at 11 George Street, 2nd floor, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, 02893. Our services are 11:30 a.m. Call us at 401-390-2834 if you need a ride, or for more information, or you just need prayer and counseling. Visit us on our page at www.victoriouswordchurch.org. And God's people said,
amen.
God's people said again,
amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Bow your head, close your eyes. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to hear your word, to be taught.